I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As you find your place there, I invite you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read, beginning with verse number 23, a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially as we come to the first Lord's Day of the month. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, the Bible tells us, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Father, help us this morning as we seek to learn from your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is a passage of Scripture that we look into every month as we come to the Lord's table. Usually we reserve it for the Lord's table service. But this morning I want to take just one thought out of here and then chase it down and Scripture. And that's the second element of the Lord's table, which would be the juice. The juice represents something here. And in verse 25, the Bible tells us that the juice, the cup, is the New Testament in what? Jesus says, in my blood. In my blood. This morning I'd like to share seven reasons why the blood of Christ is important. And perhaps, instead of the word important, should be the word necessary. There have always been, since the very beginning of Christianity, those who have attacked the blood. There are those who say that the blood is not required, not literally anyway. That when Jesus says blood, and when the rest of the scriptures say blood, they're merely referring to his death on the cross. And that all that really was necessary in order to provide salvation was that one would die. There is no significance, they claim, to the literal shedding of blood. Should be no wonder to us that this would be greatly attacked from the very beginning of Christianity. Simply because without the blood there is no salvation. And we'll see that as we chase down our seven reasons. We know that the devil from the beginning has done what he could to discredit salvation, to change it in some way. And in some way put some work of man, some merit of man into that plan of salvation, which then changes it entirely from grace to works. I believe that when Jesus said his blood, I believe he meant his blood. The same thing that courses through your veins and mine, with one exception, one difference, one contrast, and that is that his blood was without sin. His blood was perfect and pure, as no other man's has ever been. Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to consider the first reason why the blood of Christ is important. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22, here God tells us that almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The first reason why the blood of Christ is important is that without the shed blood of Christ, there is no remission. It's talking about the remission of sin, this problem that you and I have, that all mankind has had from the very first set of parents that we know, Adam and Eve. After they ate of that forbidden fruit, and we'll talk about that, as I said earlier in announcements, we'll talk about that this coming Wednesday evening and probably for a few successive Wednesday nights. But ever since they disobeyed God back in the Garden of Eden, ever since they took that forbidden fruit of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Sin has been rampant in the human race. There has not been a single individual ever born without sin and a sin nature other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all have this sin problem. As we consider and contemplate the problems that we have in the world about us, they all are traced back to that same tree, in that same garden, in the same chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 3. That sin that entered human race is the foundational problem, the root problem to everything we face as a race. Every disease is traced back to that sin. Every disaster is traced back to that same sin. Every war is traced back to that same sin. All of mankind has come under the curse of sin. And the question then has to be asked, how do we have sin removed? If sin is such a problem, how can we have it removed? And Hebrews 9:22 gives us the only way. Without shedding of blood is no remission. We know that it can't be any blood. We know it can't be ordinary blood that would bring about remission. It had to be the blood of an innocent sacrifice. And so in the first part of that verse, we read about the Old Testament law and how almost all things are by the law purged with blood, as they offered the lambs, as they offered the goats, as they offered the bulls. All these things were giving their lives as an innocent sacrifice in order that man's sins might be paid for. But the Old Testament word is atonement. Atonement. The word atonement just merely means covering. Now imagine a little boy about 7-8 years old who gets out in weather like we've had this past week, has a good old time all afternoon out in the woods. And let's say it's a Wednesday night, and that boy comes home, and he has to get ready for church. And mom and dad tell him to get all cleaned up. So he goes to his room, and he puts on a clean shirt. He puts on clean pants. And he puts on clean shoes. And he brushes his hair in the bathroom and washes the mud off his face. Is that boy clean? No, he's not. Has the dirt, the soil been removed? No, it has not. It has been atoned for. It has been covered up, but it has not been removed. That's all that was accomplished with the Old Testament animal sacrifice. As they shed their blood, atonement was made, a covering was made, and rightfully so because God commanded it. But there is no remission without the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Only as His blood was shed could that sin then be fully removed. And praise God, it is fully removed for all who will call out in faith on the Lord as their Savior. Without the shedding of blood, Christ's pure blood, there is no remission. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're going to have to move quickly here this morning. Seven reasons why the blood of Christ is important. First of all, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Secondly, without the blood of Christ is important because by that shed blood, we have redemption. By that shed blood, we have redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Here God tells us, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The blood of Christ is important because by that shed blood we have redemption. Now the picture here is a slave market. When you think of the word redemption, think of the slave market. And in that slave market, lined up and chained to posts, are the various slaves. And along comes a landowner with his pockets full, looking to purchase a slave. And as he walks by each slave and inspects each one to see which one it is or which ones he chooses to purchase. And as he goes to those slave masters and he pays them the due, the fee, in order to purchase those slaves, he has just redeemed them. He has purchased them for his own. That's exactly what the Lord has done with you and with me in salvation. We were on the slave market of sin. We were the slave to the devil himself. We were doing his beck and call, his will, his decisions, his choices. We had no say in the matter. We were in bondage and enslaved in our sins and our lost condition. But praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ came through the slave market. And as he viewed the slaves that were there, he saw some. He saw me, he saw you if you're saved this morning. And he paid the purchase price. He paid the redemption price, and that price was his blood. It tells us we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. In the slave market of sin, gold and silver is valueless. It has no worth. There is no money that can redeem a soul from the bondage of sin, from the taskmaster of the devil. There are no good works. He talks about vain conversation received by tradition from their fathers. The Jews were of all men most religious, very ritualistic in all that they did. And God is telling them that wasn't enough. All the righteous works, all the religious works that they did were not enough to redeem a soul from the slave market of sin. He says in verse number 19, there is only one commodity that has enough value to redeem a soul from the slave market of sin. He says that one commodity is the precious blood of Christ, who shed that blood for you and for me, that we might be redeemed, that we might be purchased into the God the Father's family and into His kingdom. The blood of Christ is important because without it there is no remission. The blood of Christ is important because by it we have redemption. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Let's see a third reason why the blood of Christ is important. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. Here the Bible says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Now that one with another is with fellow Christians, but it's also with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ is important, thirdly, because by it we are cleansed from sin. There are no amount of good works that'll cleanse us from sin. There is no amount of baptismal water that will cleanse us from sin. There is no amount of penance that man can do that will cleanse them from their sin. There is only one way for you and for me to have our sin cleansed. There is only one way for you and for me to find forgiveness from a Father in heaven whom we have offended with our disobedience and with our willfulness and with our pride. There is only one way that we can find forgiveness for those sins, and that's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He shed on Calvary's cruel tree, that cross of Calvary. Only by that shed blood can we find forgiveness and cleansing from our sin. There is no other way. The death of Christ in and of itself was not enough. It took that blood being spilled from His thorn-pierced brow, from His nail-pierced hands. It took the blood. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Let's see a fourth reason why the blood of Christ is important from the Word of God. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 9. Well, let's begin with verse number 8. But God, commendeth or shows or manifests, makes clear his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Fourthly, we find that the blood of Christ is important because by it we are justified. By it we are justified. The idea behind the word justified is a courtroom. Just as the idea behind the word redemption is the slave market, the idea behind the word justified is the courtroom. And in the courtroom, God is the judge. And as he sits as judge over all of creation, he understands that all of creation, all of man, every man, woman, and child is guilty before him. Now the prosecuting attorney is none other than the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself. And as the devil approaches the bench behind which God the Father, the judge of all mankind, sits in order to render judgment, the persecutor, the prosecutor, the devil himself, accuses us of our crimes against the Father, against his commonwealth, against his kingdom. And he lays out the charges very meticulously, very accurately. He doesn't have to make things up in this courtroom. He simply has to tell it the way it is. And as he lays out your sins and my sins before God, he finally brings his case to a close by saying, God, you have declared that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, I urge this court to render a guilty verdict and condemn this sinner to hell for all eternity, which is their just reward, their wages, for the sins committed that I've just proven that they are guilty of. And as God the Father sits behind the bench, and the devil then proceeds back to his place, the defense attorney approaches the bench. He doesn't have a lot to say. He doesn't need to say a lot. Our advocate is the scriptural word. And our advocate, who is none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, holds up his hands and he shows the imprint of the nails. And he perhaps pulls back his robe and he shows this place where the spear had pierced. And he simply says, Father, all the charges laid against my client are true. All the accusations of the prosecuting attorney are accurate. He has not embellished anything. He has not made up any false charges. And I'm ready and agree that my client is guilty as charged. But, he says, the price for those sins has already been paid. He says another has already taken the condemnation. Another has already suffered the wages of sin in their place. And that other who has done so is me. I have paid for their sin already. Therefore, I urge this court to justify them and declare them not guilty. And as our advocate then returns to his place, the judge behind his bench declares the verdict. The verdict is not innocent. The verdict is still guilty. Guilty, but paid for. Guilty, but paid for. Too often we define justified as just as if I had never sinned. No, it's not that way. If that was the case, then all the consequences of sin would be removed as well. But we know the consequences of sin are not removed. Many of us still suffer the consequences of sin in our life before we were saved. Some of us suffer the consequences of sin after we were saved. But the fact is, the consequences are still there. We're still guilty, but the price has been paid. We don't have to pay it anymore. That's the idea behind the word justified. God says we are justified by no other means than the blood of our Savior. He paid the price for you and for me, that we might walk off not having to pay the sentence that's due for the sins we've committed. The blood of Christ is important because without it there is no remission. The blood of Christ is important because by it we have redemption. The blood of Christ is important because by it we are cleansed from all sin. The blood of Christ is important because by it we are justified. Turn over, if you would, to Colossians chapter number 1. Let's see a fifth reason why the blood of Christ is important. Not just His death, but His blood. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and having made peace through His blood, through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Fifthly, the blood of Christ is important because by it we have peace. Peace with God. You see, we were strangers. We were far off from God and from the commonwealth of Israel. We were far off from the covenants and the promises because of our sin. That separation had occurred that always occurs whenever sin enters a life. And it's by the blood of Christ that peace was made between sinful man and a holy God. This is the only way to have peace. Today we're looking for the answers of peace in the Middle East. All the unrest that is over there and all the attempts to overthrow governments in so many different countries over in the Middle East and in Northern Africa. And even in our own country, we wonder, where is the peace as we have the Democrats and the Republicans? And it seems as if they themselves are at war one with another, and they're pitting our country one against another, and neighbor against neighbor, and father against son, over the political realm. And it ought not be that way. How can we have peace? Well, there is no peace without God. And there is no peace without God unless there is peace with God. And the only way that peace is made with God is through His shed blood. It's not by being religious. It's not by opening all kinds of churches. It's not by making everyone succumb to the laws of Scripture and obey what the Word of God tells us to do. That's what the Muslims' answer is. Just force everyone to follow what their Quran says. That's not the way to peace with God. There's only one way to peace with God, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Look over to Hebrews chapter number 9. Let's look at a sixth reason why the blood of Christ is important. Let's begin with verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience? Now the thought of this verse, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Sixthly, the blood of Christ is important because by it our conscience is purged, is cleansed. He makes reference in verse 13 to the Old Testament ceremony, the Mosaic ceremonies, for the cleansing of the flesh. If by some way we're defiled and unable to worship God in such ways as coming in contact with an unclean animal, coming in contact with a dead carcass, even coming in contact with anything dead defiled you, and you could not worship God unless you went through the ritualistic cleansing of the flesh. But God says there's something higher in the New Testament order, in the New Covenant. It's no longer the flesh, but we can't serve God. We're not worthy to come before God unless we have our conscience purged, our conscience cleansed. And God says there's only one way for that to happen. That's through the blood of Christ. Without the shed blood of Christ and the conscience being purged, we cannot serve God. There are a lot of people out there trying to serve God and being frustrated and wondering why things just don't go the way I believe they should. May I suggest it's because they have not yet purged their conscience with the blood of Christ. There are multitudes in churches this Lord's Day doing much like we're doing, singing the great hymns of the faith and listening to the preaching of the Word of God. And they're going to walk home today or drive home today or go home today. And they're going to scratch their head and say, why did I waste my time? I didn't get anything out of that service today. It was boring. There was nothing there for me. The preacher must be at fault. And that's not the problem at all. They need to have their conscience purged with the shed blood of Christ. There are those who pick up the Scriptures and they read and they read and they read and they get nothing more out of it than they would get out of the newspaper, spiritually speaking. And they say, well, that Bible's wrong. I'm going to give me a different version, a different translation. Surely that's the answer. No, the answer is the shed blood of Christ and the purging of the conscience with that blood. The blood didn't do any good if it stayed in the basin for the Old Testament sacrifices. That blood was caught in a bowl and it was sprinkled on the altar. It was sprinkled before the mercy seat. It had to be applied for it to have any effect. The shed blood of Christ is precious, but it must be applied. If you're having trouble getting anything out of serving Christ, even if it's only in your prayer life, even if it's only in your devotional life, reading the Word of God, let me recommend applying the blood of Christ to your conscience, having it purged by the only purging possible, and then see how God begins to move. Well, there's a seventh reason in chapter 10 of Hebrews why the blood of Christ is important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19. The blood of Christ is important because without it, there is no remission. The blood of Christ is important because by it, we have redemption. The blood of Christ is important because by it, we are justified. The blood of Christ is important because by it, we have peace. The blood of Christ is important because by it, our conscience is purged. And seventhly, the blood of Christ is important because by it, we have boldness to enter the holiest. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 tells us this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Man cannot approach God, the presence of God, without the blood of Christ. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4, in verse number 16, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, how can we come to this throne of grace into the very holy of holies of heaven without the blood of Christ? It is not possible. God tells us there is only one way to be accepted in His presence, and that's by the application of the blood of His Son that He shed on Calvary's tree. Yes, the blood is important. Without the blood of Christ, there is no Christianity. It takes more than just the death. If it was just the death, when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper that evening, at what we call the Last Supper, the juice would not have been used. The body, represented by the bread, would have been sufficient. But as Jesus gave us the symbolism, He said the broken body that suffered death, and the shed blood that needs to be applied are both equally necessary. The question is, have you applied the blood to your life this morning? Have you a place and a time where you bowed your head and confessed your sin and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm on my way to hell. But I believe Jesus shed His blood for me. Please save me. Forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life. If you don't have a moment like that, you've never applied the blood. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't come by intellectual assent or just simply saying, yes, I believe that. It takes the application. If you've never done that, do that today. If you've done that and your spiritual life has seemingly gone dry, the answer is still the same. The blood of Christ. It is important. It is necessary for the Christian life. Father, we thank you for your word that tells us about the blood shed on our behalf. Father, we're grateful that the blood continues to cleanse even now, almost 2,000 years later. And that by this blood we can have boldness to enter into your presence. And that by this blood we can have our conscience purged. And that this blood brings so much blessing in our lives, spiritually speaking. Father, may we ever appreciate it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.